Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Great to hear your voice.
And to hear yours.
Yes. I would have played the nifty promo ahead of time here, but, you know, computers being what they are.
Oh.
You can never tell.
You know, computers. Technology. Let's not limit it to computers. Technology. What a support.
Yes.
For our in the moment mindfulness practice.
Yes.
Because that's where you've got to be.
Absolutely.
If you think you know what's going to happen with it, it's going to be a rude awakening.
Yes.
And somehow the message seems to go out. This is an important thing. This is time sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a hurry. And mm-hmm. there's something about that vibration that really sets it all off.
You mean the whole universe?
The whole world of technology. Notice that? And then everything just sort of either goes into some resting mode or shuts down or gets squirrely or whatever mm-hmm. whatever it is. It just I project that it doesn't like urgency. It doesn't like that
yes.
kind of anxious, revved up, this is really important, I've got to get this done in a hurry, because it just seems to have an opposite effect on it of what we would like for it to
yes.
accomplish.
Yes. And it seems to me we get to a place with this new technology that seems so wonderful and gets so integrated in our lives, and we become dependent on it, in a sense. And then when it doesn't work, you know, we're unhappy.
Oh, very unhappy.
Yes.
Because our expectations get so high.
Yes.
You know, my favorite one is the expectation that your car is going to start. No, that means we just don't. Most of us, many of us, I suppose there are people out there who have cars that they're in relationship with where each time it's high adventure, but
yes.
many of us get to a point of just kind of thinking that the car is going to start.
Yes.
And then it doesn't, and we're faced with that, gosh, you know, we just never know.
Yes. And it seems to me that that's why we practice.
Yes.
Not just for the car, but you know, for everything else that we expect to be there and to work and our family and our job and everything that's built into our lives in that way.
Yeah. Somebody suggested to me recently that we do an email class, and it was around illness and sickness and disability and that. And I thought, well, that's kind of, the focus is kind of narrow, not that it's not a very important topic, because
mm-hmm.
that's one of those places that certainly gets our attention in a big hurry.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's more difficult times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, practicing in difficult times.
Yes.
And again, many of us, that's the time that we kind of snap to. Suddenly something isn't working. Now I don't feel well, or I've broken my leg, or I've lost my job, or whatever it is, and now there is, being asleep is just not an option.
Yes,
this is really this is big. This is dangerous. This mm-hmm. I've got to tune into this.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, a lot of times, what we tune in with is a conditioned response of I hate this. This isn't fair. What's wrong? It's my fault.
Mm-hmm.
So it calls us to attention, to awareness. But it's an attention or awareness that is suffering, excuse me, rather
uh-huh.
than one that we can practice all the time, that is, I want to be here and present with life, because that's a more pleasant way to live.
Yes, yes. And it reminds me of something I've read of yours, where you talk about practicing when things are okay.
Yes.
So that when things get difficult, the practice is there for us.
Yeah, people will say to me, "You know, I don't really want to talk to you because there's nothing wrong." I'll be on retreat, and they'll say, "You know, I don't want to. I didn't think I needed a guidance appointment because I don't have any problems. I don't have anything to talk about." I said, "Well, if things are going well, then we have a whole new world of things to
mm-hmm.
talk about."
Mm-hmm.
You know, ending suffering, that's what the Buddha taught. So if we're at a place where we're not suffering, then okay, then let's practice with bliss. practice with fun.
Yes. Yes. Let's get nice and comfortable with bliss and enjoy this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let me give out a couple pieces of information here. If people want to call us and talk to us today, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach us at 650-723-9010. If you prefer to email us, and we've gotten a couple of emails this past week, you can reach us at openair@kzsu.org. And if you're interested in listening to previous shows, we have a website set up with the archives, and that's at sherryhuber.com. That's spelled CHERIHUBER.com. Sherry, would you like to hear some of these emails?
Sure.
Great.
As long as nobody's dialing that phone.
Not yet.
We can make use of that, of the wonders of technology.
Of modern technology, assuming it's working, and I think it is working.
Good, good.
So feel free to call us. In the meantime, we're going to go with some email questions here. And this is from a person who was at a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat recently.
One of my favorite things.
Yes. Hello, Sherry. Learning about the experience of sitting during the week at the monastery, I realized that counting to 10 had very little to do with the sit. It came down to returning to 1. Now, after another week of sitting, I have a question. When distracted by my subpersonalities, I have a tendency to, quote, snap back to 1. What I am wondering is how much attention, parentheses, and I hate using this word, quote, should I be giving these subpersonalities, since they are a part of me, and I have shut them down for so long, and now I want them to know that I am willing to listen.
Uh-huh. Well, that's an interesting place, isn't it?
Yes.
Because we're going along in life, and much of the time, let's face it, people can be distracted,
yes,
caught up in stuff, in habitual patterns of repressing aspects of the self that they've been taught are not okay, or just kind of lost in mindlessness. Then we sit down to meditate. Suddenly there's this kind of openness. There's this space that opens up. And in that space arises all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems logical that since I'm here and I'm paying attention, I might as well focus on this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because that would make whatever it is that arises a good thing to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what we're doing when we're sitting. When we're sitting, what we're doing is focusing on the breath.
Mm-hmm.
We stay with the breath. We feel the breath in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And when our mind wanders from that, and it does, and it will, then what we're encouraged to do is just notice where it goes, and then come back to the breath. Now, if the, you know, we don't want to get compulsive about this. So sometimes the mind can wander to something, and there really isn't a sense of losing count.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're breathing and you count 4, and then something flashes through about, you know, needing to make a phone call. But you know that you're at 4. You know that you're on a breath, and that when you reach the bottom of the exhalation, you're going to count 5.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a contest. The counting is a way to help us stay present and focused.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we do. So if it feels like my mind has wandered completely and I really, there was a big gap in my awareness, then I start again at 1.
Uh-huh.
And I practice counting like that. Now, that practice is training us to be more present all the time. And after people practice in a sitting and following the breath and counting the breath, then they start realizing that just walking around or driving in the car or sitting in a restaurant or wherever they are, they come back, their attention is brought back to the breath in the same way it is during formal sitting meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So what we're learning to do is be more present all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So part of being present is, there I am going along, I say something, I hear myself say it, it kind of echoes in my head, and I think, huh, well, I wonder, well, that was that aspect of the personality that I'd been wondering about, or that's something that I noticed about myself when I was on retreat, or that, I think that's what my friend was pointing at in that So those kinds of awarenesses come to us. Now, when that happens, we can tune in. Okay, so I realize that, you know, I've just picked a fight with my friend, and suddenly I'm aware of that. Now, once again, what we're conditioned to do is feel bad, beat ourselves up, all this stuff, but we're practicing awareness. So I realize I've just picked a fight with my friend, and I think, oh, now that's interesting, and I can see that that's a subpersonality. That's an aspect of the personality that picks fights with people, and that's who I was identified with, and that's really interesting. Now, I can notice as much as I can notice about that. You know, it's the end of the day, I'm really tired and irritable, and I pick a fight. Okay, that's good. Now, come back to the breath. Let it go. I don't need to think about it, delve into it, remember things, compare it to things. You know, I just notice whatever is there for a couple of breaths, and then I let it go. Come back to the breath that I'm having now. Okay? And in that way, slowly, my awareness of the aspects of the personality, my beliefs and assumptions, what I'm projecting onto others, all of these kinds of things that we look at in awareness practice, I become more familiar with them. My awareness grows and expands. I'm spending more and more time out of my day being here instead of lost in thought or planning the future or remembering the past or beating myself up or any of those unconscious conditioned activities. I'm actually here, and I can watch what's going on with me. I can see when I say something to somebody and it's snippy, or when the voices kick in that say, you know, it's the holidays. There, you know, there's that whole plate of fudge and divinity, and you know, soon it'll be gone. Go ahead, have three or four more pieces. Now, there was a time when I might have missed that whole thing. I just come to. Or not. I mean, some people never do come to. They just notice that they gained a lot of weight. You can't really tell how that happened.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes we come to afterwards going, oh, gee, why did I eat all of that? Again,
yes.
Usually
yes.
Followed by some kind of beating.
Yes.
So our awareness is expanding. We're seeing more and more, and it's not necessary to control it. I don't need to figure things out. Trying to figure things out puts awareness in the hands of conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just noticing, and then I come back to the breath. I notice, you know, and there's some sort of connection made. Oh, that's interesting. And I come back to the breath.
Mm-hmm. No need to really sit there and noodle it.
No. Noodling belongs to the world of conditioning.
Yes.
So if it's a feeling of wanting to be more there, for the aspects of the personality, the fastest way to do that is simply through acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
So however I'm feeling, whatever I'm doing, what I'm saying, how I'm being, I can accept it. It's not, I'm not talking about permission, I'm not talking about license, I'm not talking about self-indulgence. It's just, there I am. I just yelled at my coworker.
Yes.
That's what happened. Beating myself up over it is not going to enable me to take it back.
Yes.
So I notice, maybe I say, oh, gosh, I'm sorry, I wasn't there for that. Whatever. And just notice what there is to notice about it and bring the attention back to the
past. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, only conditioning has an agenda, wants to be in control, you know, wants to take charge of it, wants to figure it out. Only conditioning wants to. Awareness has no interest in any of that.
Yes.
Ending suffering has no interest in any of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Sherry, the phones are ringing here.
Good.
I'd like to welcome Celia from Seattle. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Good evening.
Hi, Sherry. Good evening. I'm calling because I'm having a really hard time just sort of accepting the existence of the voices.
Okay. May I stop you right there?
Okay.
Only the voices would, and this, I'll put this in quotes, okay? Only the voices would pretend to have difficulty accepting the voices. So if I realize that I just hate the part of me who eats that fudge, that's another aspect of the personality.
Yeah.
Center, the heart, authentic nature, is never going to hate anything. Certainly not an aspect of the personality that eats fudge. So it's a parent trying to decide which child is innocent and which one needs to be punished. Can you picture that?
Yeah.
So if the parent were saying, it's that one, that little devil needs to be, that little devil needs to be punished, it's her fault, you would say, that doesn't sound like it's coming from a very centered, compassionate sort of a place.
Right.
Yeah.
It's that I had a migraine headache, and so I was trying to stay as present and aware through the headache as I could.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought at one point, all right, let's see what the voice is, or if there's a voice that's going along here telling me something that's maybe having part of this. Because I'm not aware of voices.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So I said that, and what immediately came up was this, was a voice that was so full of venom, and I was just so totally shocked. I don't know how to accept it as just part of my world.
Well, it is part of your world, right? So you really, the only choice that you have other than acceptance is resistance, because it's already there. Is that true?
Yes, I experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. So, now, I can just promise you this, and then you'll have to prove it for yourself. Only egocentric karmic conditioning, only an aspect of the personality would want to resist it.
Hmm.
Because what would that buy you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, tension is not helpful for your headaches, is it?
Attention or tension?
Tension.
No.
No. So if you're going to tense up in order to resist a hateful voice, you know, if we take it out into another part of your life, what, maybe you have an aunt or a, you know, a coworker or somebody who's in your life, and periodically they speak to you in a really hateful way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we're conditioned to do is go into resistance.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's not okay. It's not okay to treat me that way. You
yeah.
can't talk to me like that. That's wrong. That's wrong. So Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Well, that makes people crazy. You know, you turn the other cheek, what's going to happen? The person's going to slap that one too.
Yeah.
Okay? So what we're talking about here is not something that makes sense in the world of conditioned reality. Now, what we know with somebody like Jesus is that he did all kinds of things that make people crazy, that people say are impossible, ridiculous, absurd. But, you know, it was clearly a compelling little message that he was giving out. Because look what we're doing 2,000 years later. So, from a conditioned perspective, if somebody speaks to you in a hateful way, you have to resist it. From center, the perspective is, well, that's interesting. It's obvious that has nothing to do with me.
Uh-huh.
Can you get a feel for that? I mean, it had nothing to do with you. If you didn't take it on, if you didn't take it personally, if you didn't make it mean something, it's just this voice talking.
Makes
it has
me want to
no
cry.
Power. Hmm?
I feel like I want to cry hearing you say that.
Do you know why?
partly relief.
You know, this I understand, sounds crazy and irresponsible in the world of conditioning. But somebody, you're walking down the street, and somebody yells an obscenity at you. If you can get it, that person has nothing to do with you, that it is absolutely not personal, that the only way it can enter your world is if you bring it in, then you can hear that, and it's just like a car backfiring.
Yeah.
It's irrelevant.
So maybe
it's not even interesting.
Uh-huh. Not even interesting.
Not even interesting. You know, in the sense that there are 10,000 things that your attention could be focused on.
Right.
It is no more interesting than any of those 10,000 things.
Yeah.
But we make it mean something. We make it personal, and then we have to defend against it. And what are we defending? We're defending a separate little identity who says, this is who I am, and this is how I need to be treated, and this is what you need to say, and I'm not going to accept that, and if you do that, then by golly, I'm gonna... I was reading this little thing in a magazine that I picked up. I'd never seen this magazine before, and I find that kind of thing remarkable, you know? I mean, how do you miss something like that?
Uh-huh.
It's kind of an interesting-looking magazine. And, well, I mean, if it were, you know, hunting and fishing, I could figure that, but just kind of a news magazine. And this woman, there was a quote about this woman who, I think they said, is the wife of the governor of Maryland. I shouldn't say these things because that's probably not who it was, and now it's slander, and maybe it's not the current governor. And anyway, she was saying that she was so upset about the negative effect that Britney Spears is having on the morals of the young people of America that she felt like if she had a chance, she'd kill her.
Wow.
Now, you've got to appreciate the irony of that, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what conditioning often has us do is react in a way that is exactly the same as what it's doing to us. Hmm. So it says something hateful to me, and my conditioned reaction is to hate it.
Yeah.
That's what makes Jesus' message so very attention-getting. Someone slaps you, and you give them the other cheek. That is compassion. Now, I'm not saying that in a way that people make a rule out of that, because in another moment, compassion might be turning around and slapping them back.
Yeah.
You have to be in the moment and see.
So it's not just that you never slap somebody. Or
that's right. It's not just that you ever...
It's that you have a meek face that you're constantly turning to the world.
Nope. Not that either, is it? Because if we stay with Jesus, it was certainly not a meek face, was it?
No. But it's more like a facing something and looking at it and not
having a conditioned reaction. So that's how I can say that voice says something hateful to you. If you're not identified with somebody who's protecting an identity, it's just silly.
Yeah.
You have a headache and somebody is saying hateful things to you. You know, how involved in that can you get?
Okay, can I ask you something else?
Sure.
When I'm meditating sometimes, sometimes I can sit with thoughts just moving in and out, and there's no struggle. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's a struggle for me to attend to the breath. Like it's almost like I'm fighting on the inside, fighting the thought to reach for the breath again. Mm-hmm. And I guess the struggle is what I'm wondering about.
Yeah. So what we do is notice everything. So you know my three little keys? You pay attention to everything.
Mm-hmm.
You don't believe anything.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't take any of it personally. So what we're doing is practicing always being here in this moment. As we practice that, there's really nothing to do. We just notice. Now, I suppose people could say, well, isn't noticing doing something? But, you know, that person doesn't actually want to end suffering, so we don't need to go there and have that discussion. Okay, so you're sitting there and you're noticing. And you notice that sometimes it's really easy to be there. You're just breathing and everything is passing through and it's a piece of cake. And then there are other times when it's a real struggle. Sometimes it's a struggle physically. Your body is just uncomfortable. It's like, you know, you have ants crawling on you, or things hurt, or whatever it is. Sometimes it's a struggle emotionally. There's just all this energy moving, and you're agitated and uncomfortable. Sometimes it's a mental struggle that's going on, and you just notice that. You don't need to engage with the struggle. You just notice that it's going on.
So I'm not doing something wrong.
No. No, absolutely.
Because
as you sit there, every experience a human being can have will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see it all. You will notice it all. So someday when you are an old person like myself, somebody will be talking to you about sitting, and they'll say, well, what about da-da-da-da-da? And you'll know exactly what they're talking about. Because you've had that, you sat there, you watched that, you went through that. So there's not going to be anything anybody can ever ask you about a human being that you don't have an experience of. But if you try to get it right, if you fight it, if you want to have this experience and not that experience, if you want to always have a certain meditation, then all that's happening is that you're following conditioning around through what it is telling you is awareness practice.
Uh-huh.
Got it?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Let me know.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you.
Okay.
And happy holidays.
Thank you. Same to you.
All right. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Celia. Yes, it is that holiday season, isn't it?
It most certainly is.
Yes, getting very close. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. Stay tuned at 6 p.m. Gabe will be on the air from 6 to 10 p.m. And then coming on at 10 will be the Bot of Euphony until midnight. We're going to take a break here, and we'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Wow.
What a nice welcome.
Hey, that was great.
Yes.
We're his heroes.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
I like that.
If you'd like to join our conversation today, please give us a call. You can reach us at 650-723-9010. Sherry, it occurred to me during your call, your conversation with Celia, this sense that, and I think I've heard you talk about it before, sort of a Teflon coating, you know, where the conditioning bounces
mm-hmm.
right off.
Mm-hmm.
Or another image.
Isn't that a lovely image?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Or another image of, you know, it just sort of passes right through me. It doesn't really catch on anything.
You know, when you say that, it's funny. It's like it's a superhero approach.
Yes,
that's
absolutely
what superheroes are doing. They're just unaffected by this stuff that kills everybody else.
Yes.
Yeah, just, boy, you try to hit Superman in the chest, and it's just not going to work.
Yes.
You know, boom, you hit, and then the bad guy looks at his fist like, wow, how did that happen? Superman is just standing there, you know, hands on hips, chest puffed out,
yes.
unaffected. Yeah, that's
yes.
what we're going for.
Yes. Uh-huh. That's amazing.
And yeah,
it's interesting.
Go ahead.
It's interesting watching myself as I go through my life. You know, what kind of sets me off? What creates a little zinger in me, and what just kind of passes on by?
And you know, Michael, we started out talking about something along these lines, I think.
Yes.
If I can remember all the way back to the beginning of the show. What I think happens to us is we're not paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
We're lost in expectation. You know, of course my car's going to start. I'm in a hurry. I'm busy. I'm going off. And then it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, boom. You know, I just run smack into reality. You know, like running into Superman's chest.
Yes.
So when we're actually here, the times that we're actually here and present, and something happens that's unexpected, you know, all of a sudden somebody yells something hateful at me. If I'm really here, that it's one experience. If that jerks me back out of some reverie of expectation about how life is or should be,
mm-hmm.
it's a very different experience.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, you know, it's not what happens. It's whether or not we're here when it happens
yes.
that makes such a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And by here, I mean really here,
mm-hmm.
not here identified with, you know, some little suffering self who has an identity in relation to the rest of life, but really present here.
Yes.
That's how Jesus could turn the other cheek.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're really here, you're not affected by those things. And that's the, again, I keep going back to that, because that's what makes it such a compelling message. What we're not meant to learn is how we should be in relationship to other people. What we're meant to get from that is, this is what life can look like when you're really present.
Yes. Yes.
The whole, it's a different world. It's a different reality.
Yes. When we're right here for it.
When we're right here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can't look at here from a conditioned place and have any idea what here looks and feels like.
Yes.
You got to get here. And then, so I was talking to somebody this morning. I told a story at some point about being with my grandson when he was young.
Mm-hmm.
And how he would sit at the table, and he thought it was really funny to chew with his mouth open and do all kinds of gross and disgusting things.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, so here's the deal, bud. You know, you're welcome to sit here and eat with me. And if you're going to do that, then here's how that's going to be. Now, if you want to do these other things, that's great, but I need you to go over there because I don't want to look at you because, you know, quite frankly, it's disgusting and puts me off my food. Well, I mean, you want to hear people get set off. Well, how is that compassionate? You know, it shouldn't, I mean, isn't that rejecting him? It wouldn't, if you were being compassionate, wouldn't that, all these ideas from a conditioned mind about what being compassionate looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like being nice, being polite,
mm-hmm.
taking it no matter what,
yes.
being spineless, having no chin, you know, all of these ideas about ways of being that nobody wants to be.
Yes.
But that's not it. That's not it at all. You have to be right there in the moment, and then what occurs to you occurs to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then it plays out however it plays out.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say it's the hardest part about leading an aware life.
Mm-hmm.
Is that life is going to call the shots, and you're going to act it out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not always going to be popular or make people happy or make people think you're a nice person.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, we think, you know, if I went through the list of my spiritual heroes, and, you know, it's fairly comprehensive list that includes probably most of everybody else's, you know, certainly
mm-hmm.
people listening in.
Mm-hmm.
The world was peopled with folks who hated those heroes of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Hated them.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted them dead.
Mm-hmm.
So, what were they doing that was so upsetting to people?
Mm-hmm.
They were being here and living the life that life called them to live. And that life is often extremely unpopular to conditioning.
Yes. And what life is asking of us right now is to answer the phones.
Very good.
I'd like to welcome Karen from North Carolina. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Well, hello.
Hi.
Good evening.
Hello. Happy holidays.
And to you.
Well, that's what I wanted to call and talk about, the holidays.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I just want to thank you both for being there and thank myself for listening and what a gift it is.
To have kind of a break from what this season might bring otherwise?
A break? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, I set this evening aside to wrap Christmas presents while I was listening to the show.
Uh-huh.
And you know, what occurred to me about the holidays, and I'm not as familiar with the Jewish tradition, but what came to mind today was the name of Christ, the Prince of Peace.
Uh-huh.
And that just felt so good to bring that into awareness.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then what we talked about so far tonight about being present and compassion and the breath, and that's what I wanted to talk about, just to say hello and thank you.
Yeah, and to remind us all to bring that into our conscious awareness as we go through the rest of this day and the holidays and every day of our lives.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Very good.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
And a Happy New Year to you.
Oh, and that was another part of it, too, the New Year. That's a big transition for us all.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So not to fall into the trap of resolutions leading to failure and self-hatred,
right.
But a great opportunity to look at the year and see how that year has gone. As you probably know, on Sunday, I think it's, is it the 4th or the 5th, whatever that Sunday in January is. Does anybody know?
Sunday's the 4th.
Sunday the 4th. At the Zen Center in Mountain View, we do our traditional Your Best Year Yet workshop. Jan Latender flies out from North Carolina and leads us through this process that's much like this. We look at all of the things from last year that were successful and all that we accomplished, and we look at the things that were difficult for us, and then we bring conscious awareness to what we would like to include in our lives for the coming year. And some people will get into a place of real struggle over that because they say, well, you know, how is that consistent with Zen awareness practice to be planning the next year? But if we think we're planning the next year, well, then that could be difficult, although I have to tell you, my 2004 calendar is completely filled already. But it's bringing conscious awareness to how we would like the year to be. And that seems very consistent with awareness practice.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to that, too.
Yeah, excellent.
Yep. Well,
happy to you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Karen.
Okay. Thanks,
good night.
Karen. Thanks for joining us, Karen. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. If you'd like to join our conversation, give us a call at 650-723-9010. Sherry, would you like to address another email question?
Yeah, although I do want to comment that that's such a nice image of sitting there listening to the radio show and wrapping presents, and it kind of sounds like a little Norman Rockwell sort of moment.
Yes.
You know, a little fire crackling there and the stockings. And
uh-huh. A little snow gently falling through the trees.
Yeah.
Yes, and Christ, the Prince of Peace.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, a new opportunity coming up for all of us. Of course, we make the whole thing up, but what difference does that make? You know, I mean, we could certainly look at any day of the year as the new year.
Yes.
You know, we're starting a new year.
Yes.
But it's kind of nice to all get together and say, at least in, you know, one big tradition.
Yes.
You know, this is when we're going to say that. So we're all starting afresh on this day. So it's kind of nice.
Great. Here's an email question. Sherry and Michael, I've been listening to the archives and find your radio show very helpful. Thank you for taking the time to do Open Air. I have a few questions, and there are three of them, so maybe we can take them one at a time.
Let's take them one at a time. Otherwise, I have to remember all the way
yes.
from number three back to number one. And
yes.
I don't need that kind of challenge.
Number one, I find that the, quote, voices inside my head are rather quiet overall, but when they do come up, tend to stick to specific subjects or events that I can recognize. What would a person do if they find that nothing is wrong with them and there is no self-hatred? Then I find my relationships with others, who are not on a Zen or Buddhist path, tends to be difficult because I don't have the self-hatred they do, which possibly makes them uncomfortable, only second to the anxiety they experience when I point out what they are doing to themselves. How can I interact with them without causing conflict?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I always encourage people to do is say far, far, far less than conditioning would want us to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people will say, I don't have voices. If we're doing we're in a workshop and we're doing a guided imagery, they'll say, well, you know, I don't really get a picture of that or that sort of thing. But whether you have a voice talking to you, whether you see a picture of it in your mind, however it's laid out, people know what everything means.
Mm-hmm.
So I see somebody hit somebody on the street, and there are no voices in my head saying anything, but I know what's happening means
mm-hmm.
from my conditioning's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense?
Yes.
So
in other words, it's the meaning.
It's the meaning. It's not whether, because a lot of times, especially if people have been doing some sort of awareness practice for a while, conditioning gets very clever. It's not going to, you know, shout you're stupid if you recognize that a voice yelling you're stupid is a voice of self-hatred,
yes.
and then that's going to affect your relationship with it. It's just not going to say that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
However, you're going to get a clear message that you're stupid.
Yes.
So now we're just getting more subtle about this. But for me, the essential piece of that question is, we are never here to do any training for anybody but ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So not only am I not required to point out to other people what they're doing, unless I'm specifically invited,
mm-hmm.
it is a really good idea never to go there.
Yes.
The most helpful thing from my perspective is to own our projections.
Mm-hmm.
So if I see somebody doing something, why is that a problem for me? Even if it's somebody seems to be mired in self-hatred, why is that a problem for me?
Mm-hmm.
I need to work out what's upsetting to me about what's going on with them, rather than if I'm going to be free.
Yes.
Right? Rather than trying to get them to be different so that I will feel better.
Yes.
Yeah. So, pointing things out to people is just never going to be popular. And if we want to know why, then we just need to have somebody point something out to us and watch our reaction, and then we can understand clearly why they respond the way they respond.
Yes.
And it's just not helpful.
Yes.
It's not helpful. When I talk to people, because, you know, people ask me, that's my job description, so people ask me, well, what about this, what about that, what about, you know, and I make a great effort to the best of my ability to talk to them about what they're talking about. Because that's what's up for them, as
mm-hmm.
we say.
Yes.
That's what they're seeing. That's what's interesting to them. That's where their awareness is right now.
Yes.
So if we leave that and go into some other subject, it's just not helpful. Because the only thing that is ever helpful to us is what we get. So I'm talking to people who are in workshops or retreats with me all the time, and they'll have an awareness, and they'll say, in this kind of sheepish way, you know, I'm sure you've said this to me 10,000 times, but I just got it. And my response, and it's a genuine response, is, It doesn't matter who said it or how many times they said it.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that matters is when we get it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only moment of reality for us.
Mm-hmm.
So, just to get it, that we're here to do our own work. And if we're doing our own work, then being around anybody, no matter how they're struggling or what's going on with them, is not a problem for us.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't mean we have to be around people. You know, we're not making a should out of it. But it's not a problem because they're doing their work, I'm doing my work, we're all doing our work.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Ooh, part two?
Part two. Could you please talk about a description of happiness more from the Zen perspective? I find that I am more, quote, content instead of, quote, happy, but you mentioned before that happy is not a giddy version of ignorance is bliss. With content, I can have more or less and can strive to achieve, but will remain content with whatever comes. Happiness seems to be contingent on the social norms of getting more possessions or power, entertainment, sex and drugs, or putting others down, so I falsely feel raised up.
Well, you know, this is a difficult thing, because we can use words, but the words mean whatever they mean to us.
Yes.
So I remember at one point using the word serenity, and this woman just went ballistic because to her, serenity was a really negative quality. I had it in, you know, the list of what people often will think of as positive qualities.
Yes.
And positive and negative are always in quotes for me because I don't, to me, they're nothing is anything.
Yes.
You know, there's no sense in breaking things down and saying this is this and that. It's just, you know, that's supporting the world of duality, but there's nothing real in that.
Yes.
So we each get to the place that we get to, and we then call it whatever seems like the right word for that to us.
Uh-huh.
But here again, we stumble over projection because somebody says, content, and somebody else hears that as apathetic or complacent.
Mm-hmm.
Or and so to the one person, they're saying, oh, no, this is the highest a person can get to in their world. This is the supreme bliss, and somebody else sees it as avoidance. So, you know, we go inside and we have the experience we have, and if we want or need to label it, we do, and if we don't, we don't.
Yes. Yes.
But comparing it or trying to figure out what somebody else is doing with it is, you know, probably not very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Reminds me of noodling.
Yeah, kind of. Where we get up into our conditioned thought processes and say, well, it's this and this, and then, yeah, but how is that this? And to me, when we're really present, when I'm really present, I'll own this.
Mm-hmm.
Completely. And I look inside and there's an experience there. There could be many, 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 many words that describe that experience or none.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if I'm trying to talk to somebody about it, I usually find that it takes a lot of words.
Yes.
And then they still probably don't know what I'm talking about. Then, you know, after a while, we get to a silent practice because why are we doing this?
Yes. Why are we talking anyway?
I say tomato, you say tomato.
Yes.
Let's just sit down and
eat them.
Eat a couple of those things.
Yes.
Yeah.
And question number three, what have you been contemplating recently? Do you have regular philosophical musings bouncing around inside your head?
Moi?
Yes.
Well, the answer to that would be nothing to the first part, and
yes.
No to the second part.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's pretty much nothing going on unless mm-hmm. there's a reason for it. Somebody said to me recently, I was doing something and then just switched gears and did something, you know, it's totally different as this radio show, and the response was, wow, that's amazing that you can do that. And to me, it's not amazing at all, because there's only there what's called forth. So
uh-huh.
if it's time to do the radio show, then Michael says, hi, here we go, and here we go.
Yes.
But before that, there is no radio show. There is no conversation. Before that is just whatever is before that. So, So I can pick up that magazine today and read that thing about Britney Spears and get a very big chuckle over that.
Yes.
And then that's sort of it until somebody says something tonight and it brings up that image again. Otherwise, it's gone.
Yes.
It's blessed. You know, when we sit in meditation, that's what we're doing. We're training ourselves. We're practicing being able to just be in whatever moment we're in. Whatever is there is there. We're not calling anything forth. We're not holding anything at bay.
Mm-hmm.
It all just passes through. And because there's nothing for it to stick to, back to the Teflon approach to life, there's nothing for it to stick to. Things don't tend to be drawn in the same way. they don't tend to be as attracted to that space. So things slow down. Spaces between thoughts get broader and wider until it's all just spaciousness.
I see.
If something evokes a thought, requires a thought, then thought comes into being.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, there's no reason for it.
Mm-hmm. For some reason, that strikes me as quite amazing. It's just you're there, and whatever's going on is whatever's going on.
Yes. And if nothing's going on, then nothing's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because very little of life requires comment. You know, identity wants to comment on everything.
Yes.
But it's really not a requirement, not essential.
Mm-hmm. Either
so
internally.
Interest in maintaining an identity in that way, there's no reason to comment.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. So there's no need to comment internally or externally.
Right, because there's nobody being maintained. There's no point of view being maintained.
Mm-hmm.
Very restful.
Yes, and the other word that comes to mind for me is efficient.
Very efficient.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, no wasted energy, wasted time.
Yeah, my teacher used to talk about if something is worth doing, it's worth doing with two hands.
Uh-huh.
And that's what he was pointing at, I suspect. It's just being fully present to whatever is there. And if there's nothing there, then there's just being fully present.
Yes.
We don't have to make something up to make ourselves real.
Yes. Yes.
If you think about, I don't know if this is true for you, or maybe people in the listening audience can consider this, and we can talk about it next time. But if a person is not generating anything, I mean, if you think about the amount of time that is spent just mentally, not even particularly to consider the emotional or physical effects of this, but the amount of mental time and energy that's spent generating. So I'm replaying old conversations, I'm making plans for the future, I'm trying to figure something out, I'm trying to, you know, work a deal or get a better deal,
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to justify my position,
mm-hmm.
That sort of thing.
Yes.
If all of that went away, how much space would there be?
Mm-hmm.
And all that's internally maintained. It's generated. Life isn't actually bringing it. So the caller early on who has the voice saying hateful things.
Yes.
If the voice just said something hateful or several hateful things, and that were the end of it, then there's nothing there. But what happens is the system, the conditioned system, begins to generate. So it's got an opinion about it. It's got an argument. It's comparing this, comparing that, and what does it mean, and why is this happening, and when has this happened before, and how am I going to, and what should I do, and And all that is irrelevant and unnecessary.
Wow.
So then you're available for whatever, you know, gems life would like to slip your way.
Yes. Like Christmas, for example.
Yeah.
Or the New Year.
Yeah.
And I hesitate to use the word homework, but I'm curious if there's anything you'd like to encourage people to look at and maybe call us.
I think that would be great homework. I'd love to hear what people experience about that. Just to get a sense, you know, round it off. You know, we don't have to take measurements, but just get a sense of how much of the mental, just the mental time and energy is being used in self-generated issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean by that?
As opposed to issues that life is presenting to us in some moment.
Yeah. So, you know, people are having family experiences, perhaps, over the holidays, and a relative says something,
mm-hmm.
or does something, or doesn't say something, or doesn't do something. Because, mm-hmm. you know, we can go in every direction. And then what happens in reaction to that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a car does something on the road. What happens in reaction to that?
Mm-hmm.
How much of your resources are spent in reaction to a perceived event in life?
Mm-hmm.
And the word perceived is really important in that sentence.
Yes.
Yeah, because the perceived is pointing at something that I made mean something.
Uh-huh. Yes. Would it be fair to say in relation to also, as well as reaction to?
It can be, but for most of this, mm-hmm. it's reaction.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, you say something, and then it's like your sentence puts my wheels in motion.
Yes.
And then I'm off and running. And
yes.
After that point, you know, I think it has something to do with you. At that point,
yes.
Of course, I think it has something to do with you. And almost everybody would argue with me that, of course it does, he's the one who said it.
Yes.
And of course, I'm arguing on the side of, no, it actually has nothing to do with him.
Yes.
It actually has nothing to do with me either. However, so then the reaction is launched. And I'm thinking that this is about us, but it's not. It's just me reacting through my conditioned orientation to life. And basically, bottom line, it's just me making me real.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I have plenty to feel, I have plenty to think about, I have plenty to occupy me, I'm the center of the universe, you know.
Yes.
So if people would look at that, ooh, what a fertile time to be exploring that.
Yes.
Because it all is terribly fraught with meaning for us.
Yes.
Especially holidays.
Yes, and they can call us next week and let us know how it went.
Yes, absolutely they can.
We're at the end of our hour here, Sherry. And I'd like to thank our stalwarts in the studio here, Lori and Jay, all of our callers today and listeners locally and worldwide over the internet. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. My name's Michael Gray. If you want to reach us before next week's show, you can email us at openair@kzsu.org. Archives of all the shows are available at sherryhuber.com. That's spelled CHERIHUBER.com. And we'll talk to you next week. Good night.
Good night, Michael. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.